Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Heather's Sixth Sacrament meeting today. My name is Brother Beckstead, and Bishop Misbach is presiding this meeting and has asked that I conduct today. I'd also like to recognize Brother Tony Martinez from the High Council, who is on the stand with us today. We'd like to extend an especially warm welcome to any who are visiting or here for the first time. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. By way of announcements, first of all, we'd like to thank those families that came and helped with the building cleanup yesterday. We had the Reed Anderson family, the Sweetens, the Madsons, and the Shirtless Assigned. So thank you for helping to make our building a clean and reverent place today. As a reminder, for this next Saturday, we have the Darren and Rachel DeVore family, Stephen and Janita Anderson, Dan and Heather Holdaway, Tyson and Amber Andrews, the Vertels, and Stephen and Lisa Brown. So thank you in advance for helping with that wonderful assignment and opportunity to serve. Also, this evening we have seminary graduation tonight at the Stake Center at 7 o'clock p.m. for seminary students and their families to attend. Should be a wonderful event. I'd also like to thank Brother Jackman and Sister Carol Hill for helping with the music today. We will open today's meeting by singing hymn number 85, How Firm a Foundation, after which the invocation will be offered by Brother Darren DeVore.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are very grateful for this Sabbath morning that we can worship Thee and Thy Son, and we're grateful that we can partake of the sacrament and renew our baptismal covenants, and we are grateful that we can hear from many of the young women in our ward, as well as our young woman leader, and this sacrament meeting, and we ask to bless them as they speak, that they can share the message that they have prepared and feel impressed to share with us. And we say these things in Thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
We do have one other announcement that I've neglected to mention is that BYC is today after the block for the young men and young women presidencies, as well as the quorum and class presidents. We do have an item of ward business today. The following member has been called to a new calling, and we propose that he be sustained. Will the following please stand if he is present? Andy Young, as a Sunday school teacher. All those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may also manifest it. Thank you. I'd like to turn the time over to Brother Martinez for some stake business.
The State Presidency has asked that I conduct the following business. Grant and Patrice Beckman of the Hetherwood Second Ward have been called a stake self-reliance specialist. Katie Vest of the Hetherwood's Third Ward has been called to serve as a member of the Mazur Seminary Council. We propose that they be sustained. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may manifest. Thank you very much.
We have a wonderful sacrament meeting planned for today. We get to hear from many of our young women, as well as our young women's president, Debbie Hill. We will open by hearing from Sarah Thomas, after which Heather Knighting will speak to us, and then Emily Beckstead, and then Sarah Buman. Sarah.
Okay, so Today I've been asked to talk about something that Young Women's has taught me in this past year. Something that has really stood out to me lately is the focus Young Women's has on our divine purpose. Our purpose as a mother, a sister, a friend, a teacher, and a witness of God. It can be overwhelming at times to consider everything we've been sent to this earth to do. President Uchtdorf states this perfectly in his October talk in the Young Women Conference in 2016. He says, "Some of you might think you are too insignificant to have a meaningful influence on others. Perhaps you don't even consider yourself a woman of faith because you sometimes struggle with doubt or fear. This is something that I, and I'm sure many others, struggle with, especially in high school and as young adults." President Uchtdorf continues to say that the key to defeating our doubts is simply faith. At times it can be frustrating trying to feel the Spirit when it seems that everyone else is receiving guidance and comfort. When we're frustrated, instead of thinking we should listen harder, we should consider listening differently. Heavenly Father talks to our spirit and our heart. We all experience it differently. Another quote from President Uchtdorf is, "Sometimes it's not easy to develop faith in spiritual things while living in a physical world, but it is worth the effort because the power of faith in our lives can be profound." I recently received my patriarchal blessing looking for guidance. My patriarchal blessing has been a huge blessing in my life, especially in high school. It's helped me with dating and considering serving a mission. Something I've also learned this year as a senior is that I'm about to move out and I get to make decisions for myself, like attending institute or a young single adult ward. We need to find truth for ourselves and deciding who we are going to be in these days. So as I'm about to face all this change and freedom, I need to consider the gospel. Elder Uchtdorf also asks in his talk, "Are we going to find our divine potential? Is this gospel going to be the center of our lives?" These are two questions that can only be asked of ourselves and questions that require action in order to be answered. We have all been taught that we are each sons and daughters of a loving Heavenly Father, but until we individually receive that realization and burning of who we are, we may be denying ourselves of a relationship that can guide us through this life. In closing, one last question that Elder Uchtdorf asks, is the gospel going to be the center of our lives? This is a question that I feel we have to ask ourselves daily. Young Women's has taught me that I have a potential and a divine purpose, and it comes from living the gospel. It's hard to live without the gospel and without the guidance from Heavenly Father and the Holy Ghost. We cannot overcome doubt or fear without the gospel. I have a strong testimony of that, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Heather Nighting, and my family and I have been in the ward for about 4 years now. And sad to say, but this is our last Sunday in the ward because we'll be moving. And we'll be moving to Pleasant Grove. And yeah. And then after that, I'll be graduating in December, and I'm going to BYU, and I'm going to play volleyball there. And I'm really excited for that. But anyways, so today I got asked to talk about something I've learned in Young Women's. And that was a pretty broad subject, but it got me thinking about one question Bishop Misbeck always asks the youth, and I'm pretty sure every youth knows what I'm talking about. The question is, what is the most important decision you will ever make? And at first, once I moved into the ward, I didn't know what the answer was. But I'm glad I know now. That since I've been in this ward, the question is, I mean, the answer to that question is who and where you marry. The where in this answer was always pretty obvious to me. I want to get married in the temple, but the who is going to be a hard decision as I grow older. But I know that through the decisions I make before I get to that part in my life will point me in the direction because of the previous decisions I'd made to get there. I've learned that your decisions determine your destiny. The little decisions I've made and make either improve myself as a person or not. We've been taught repeatedly that choosing to disobey God's commandments brings consequences. The same thing happens when you are making righteous decisions. For the strength of youth teaches, While you are free to choose your course of action, you are free, not free to choose the consequences. Whether good or bad, consequences follow as a natural result of the choices you make. Some of the consequences of good choices are found in the scriptures in the Strength of Youth pamphlet. And in D&C 14:7, it says, if you keep my commandments, endure to the end, you shall have eternal life. In the Strength of Youth, it also says, when you are obedient to the word of wisdom, you remain free from harmful addictions and have control of your life. And also it says, observing the Sabbath will bring you closer to the Lord and to your family. And those are some pretty positive consequences and some promised blessings that God has given to us directly. My decisions are based on my values and desires. I value my family, the gospel, my friends, my health, and my desires are to be sealed in the temple, maybe serve a mission one day, do good in college, have a family, and many others. When you establish your values and goals, you are able to make decisions easier in the future. And with that, I would like to challenge you guys to establish your core values and make goals for yourselves so it's easier to make decisions in the future. Your Heavenly Father has designed for you a perfect plan, the plan of salvation. And with that, with the plan we all decided to follow was free agency. We're all able to use this to become more like Christ. You may ask, why does it matter to always make good decisions when we're all going to be saved? But I can tell you that it matters because it leads you to those big decisions like getting married in the temple and other stuff that has an eternal consequence. I like to bear my testimony that I know these things are true. And I'm so grateful for this experience in the ward, and it really has changed me as a person. And I'm so grateful for the gospel and my family. And I know that Heavenly Father's love for you is always constant. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My name is Emily Beckstead, and I recently turned 12 and was excited to graduate from primary and join the Young Women's Program. A couple of months ago, I attended New Beginnings to learn about the Personal Progress Program and to get to know the other young women and leaders. I was excited about how nice the older young women were to me and what great examples they are. As part of the Personal Progress Program, I set goals about each of the young women values. This will help me to start habits that will guide me throughout my life. I also have the opportunity to do a service project about each of the values. I decided to start with the faith value. I have been getting in the habit of saying my morning and evening prayers. I made a note to help remind me that I put on my pillow. I'm in my third week of doing this. I'm excited to continue to work on these values. President Uchtdorf spoke about why living these values is so important. He said, I understand that, at times, some may wonder why they attend church meetings or why it is so important to read the scriptures regularly or to pray to our Heavenly Father daily. Here is my answer. You do these things because they are part of God's path for you, and that path will take you to your happily ever after destination. Learn to accept and act upon the young woman values. Live the standards in for the strength of youth. These standards guide and direct you to your happily ever after. Living these standards will prepare you to make sacred covenants in the temple and establish your own legacy of goodness in your individual circumstances. Another exciting thing about turning 12 is that I can now go to the temple. I had the opportunity to attend the temple for the first time to do baptisms for the dead. It was a special experience, and it reminded me of how I felt when I was baptized. I'm glad that I can help my ancestors who didn't have the same opportunities that I have to know the gospel. I will be attending junior high next year, and I know that it will be important to choose my friends wisely. I want to choose friends that are also trying to live the young women values. I'm thankful that I have the gospel in my life and that I can be in the young women's program. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. This past school year, I have served as a youth counselor in the Special Needs Activity Program, which is just basically mutual for those with mental disabilities. I was assigned to buddy a girl who has Down syndrome named Rachel. Over the course of this year, Rachel and I have grown very close. She's the funniest person to dance with, to shop online with, and to talk boys with. For example, one day we were sitting in opening exercises, and I noticed Rachel was wearing a shirt with a peacock printed on the front. To make conversation, I said, "Rachel, what's on the front of your shirt?" She looked at me as if irritated and having to explain the obvious. She rolled her eyes and said, "Sarah, it's a chicken," as if I should have known. During my time with Rachel, I came to learn the joy of service. I realized I am divinely blessed with a desire to serve, particularly those with special needs. Rachel helped me follow the loving example of Christ by reaching out to those who are in need. One story of Christ's service that has touched me is in John 5, of the cripple at the pool of Bethesda. This pool has special healing powers, and when the angel of the Lord troubled the waters, the first person to enter the pool would be healed of their infirmity. However, a particular man waiting by the pool was never able to enter the water first because he was crippled. Time and time again, the water was troubled and he was passed by. When Jesus approached him and asked, "Wilt thou be made whole?" the man told Jesus that he had no man to assist him into the pool to be healed. In response, Jesus instructed him to rise, take up his bed, and walk, which the man did. This remarkable act of service exemplifies the kind of service that I hope I can give to those in need. Rachel's situation is similar to the man by the pool. She's often overlooked for companionship, attention, and her divine worth. Through both Rachel and Christ's example, I have learned a great deal about the joy of service. Over time, I've come to see Rachel in a new perspective as her divine nature as a daughter of God. By learning about divine nature in young women's, I am better qualified to recognize Rachel's divine nature. Sister Rosemary Wixom taught, "We identify with our divine nature as we feel and give the love of our Father in heaven." My young women's leaders have taught me throughout the past 6 years that I have an individual divine nature. I can remember many times when Sister Debbie Hill would invite me to her home, text me, or pull me aside in the hall to talk with me individually. By listening to me, mentoring me when I felt alone, and often reminding me of my value to her and to my Heavenly Father, she helped me remember my divine nature. She's been an example of Christ-like love and service to me. In Young Women's, we all participate in personal progress. Personal progress has 8 attributes of Christ that we study and strive to acquire. After completing the given requirements in a particular value, there's a 10-hour project at the end to reinforce what we have learned about the given topic. One of these values is divine nature, and for my project at the end, I spent several days sewing with my grandma. One of the things I sewed and then wrote about in my journal was an apron. I wrote, "When you first buy the fabric, it is just a piece of fabric. But after working on it, the fabric becomes an apron. Its purpose all along was to become what I envisioned for it. I am a daughter of God. When I first am baptized, my testimony may not be very strong. But over time, as I improve myself in my testimony, I can come to recognize my divine nature as a beloved daughter of God." Doing personal progress helped me to develop practical habits to become more Christ-like. Sewing the apron helped me understand that through Christ, I can return to live with my Heavenly Father. Other activities I completed helped me grow closer to Heavenly Father and to recognize the joy that comes from fulfilling my potential. Understanding my divine nature motivates me to better follow the example of Christ. I feel blessed to participate in the Special Needs Activity Program and in Young Women's, where I have leaders to encourage me to better understand my divine nature and to follow Christ. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm thankful for this opportunity. When Brother Beckstead first asked me, and he talked to me about having the young women as speakers too, my first thought was the time, and I didn't realize today it would be how emotional I would be having them talk, and me realizing the love that I have for each and every one of them. I didn't want to start my talk out like this, but after hearing each one of their talks, I want to first express my love to each one of these young women who are speaking today and who have spoke today and who are in Young Women, because I realized that he asked me to teach, to talk on certain women. And in that talk, I was thinking of just different women, but it really drew my thoughts to my young women, too, also. So I just want them to know how proud I am of them and what a great job they did. My talk is actually on Sister Burton's talk on she's a General Relay Society who just got released in last April. And by the way, Carol did volunteer Scott again if we run short. So anyway, but her talk was on, she said, certain women are disciples centered on the Savior, Jesus Christ, and have hope through the promise of his atoning sacrifice. And so she first talked about certain women of the Savior's time. The New Testament includes accounts of certain women, named and unnamed, who exercised faith in Jesus Christ and in his atonement, learned and lived his teachings, and testified of his ministry, miracles, and majesty. These women became examples of disciples and important witnesses in the work of salvation. Consider different synonyms of one meaning of the word certain as connected to faithful, certain women: convinced, positive, confident, firm, definite, assured, and dependable. And I think of every one of those adjectives, and I can see so many of those adjectives in so many of the people here in this ward, and also in my young women. As I pondered these different adjectives, I remembered, this is from Sister Burton's talk, two of the New Testament certain women who bore, is not this the Christ? They, like us, were imperfect women. Their witness is inspiring. Remember the unnamed woman at the well who invited others to come and see what she had learned of the Savior. She bore her certain witness in the form of a question: is not this the Christ? Her testimony and invitation were so compelling that many believed on her because of her testimony. Following the death of our brother Lazarus, Martha, the beloved disciple and friend of the Lord, declared that with what must have been great emotion, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Consider her certainty," as she continued, "but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." She further testified, "I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." So we learned that many of these sisters, they were testifying of Christ, and they believed him, and they would follow him, and they were following his example. I'd like to talk about certain women of today. So not only are we here to save others, but we're here to save ourselves. And that salvation comes from partnering with Jesus Christ, from understanding his grace, his atonement, his feelings of love for the women of the church. That happens through things such as simple as brushing someone's hair, sending a note, sending a text, inspiring message of hope and grace, or allowing women to just serve us. And I think sometimes that's the hardest part, is sometimes it's hard to let someone serve us. We talk a lot about serving others, but sometimes we don't reach out. And having Janice serving in the with her in the Relay Society, I've seen how serving other sisters, but those that serve and are served, both benefit from this, and the love grows and the bond grows between these two sisters. When we have become distracted, doubtful, discouraged, sinful, sorrowful, or soul-stretched, may we accept the Lord's invitation to drink of his living water, as did certain women at the well, inviting others to do the same as we bear our witness and say, "Is not this the Christ?" Sometimes when life seems unfair, as it must seem with Martha at the death of her brother, When we experience the heartaches of loneliness, infertility, loss of loved ones, missing opportunities for marriage and family, broken homes, debilitating depression, physical or mental illness, stifling stress, anxiety, addiction, financial hardship, or a plethora of other possibilities, we remember Martha and declare our similar certain witness. But I know and I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. So when we go through our troubled times, if we will remember our Savior and that he is the Christ and he is our, he was there for us. May we remember the many certain women who refused to abandon our precious Savior during the excruciating experience he suffered on the cross, and yet hours later were privileged to be among the certain witnesses of his glorious resurrection. Let us be found staying close to him in prayer, scripture study. These are all the primary answers, such as prayer, scripture study. Let us draw near, draw ourselves near to him by preparing for partaking of the sacred emblems of his atoning sacrifice weekly during the ordinance of the sacrament, as we keep covenants by serving others in their times of need. Perhaps then we might be part of the certain women, disciples of Jesus Christ, who celebrate his glorious return when he comes. And this talk helped me think of different women in my life who have touched me. And I thought back to when I was a beehive, and we lived in Idle Falls, and we got to go to Lagoon. We thought we were really getting good stuff here. So anyway, we came to Lagoon, but one of my beehive advisor was Sister Devona Davis. And we came down and we were going on all these rides. Well, most of you don't know, but I get so sick on rides. I can't do half the Disneyland, any rides. I just go on the line with my family and then I meet them at the end. And I get car sick. I've thrown up in the car more times, planes, everything. I just cannot do it. I still do it, but I just get sick. And so we were in the fun house at Lagoon, and I was getting really sick. And she probably could tell because she says, "Do you want to step outside?" So we went outside and walked around for quite a while, and she just thought, "Oh, Debbie's not enjoying herself. Should we go on the Ferris wheel?" So we go on the Ferris wheel, and I thought, "Oh, yeah, I think I'll be okay." We're on the very top. I just threw up all over her and me. It was terrible. But she was so kind, and she was so good to me. And she just made me feel like it's okay. It's okay. And I was embarrassed because my friends were there. But nobody made me feel bad. And they just made me feel, you know, like it's okay. This thing happens all the time. And it doesn't to me, it does, but not everybody else. But they acted like that. So she helped clean me up. And when I went to, just a couple months ago, I went to Idle Falls to one of my sister's ward. And who would you see was Devona Davis. And I just had to go, I'm sorry. I had to go up to her and give her a hug and let her know of the love I have for her. And the influence that she has had in my life and the direction of being a certain faithful woman. Another person I thought of was my Aunt Helen Mogg. And my Aunt Helen was a nurse in Salt Lake. And we went, when we were little kids, my dad got sick. And so we came down to Salt Lake and we stayed in her house for quite a long time, it seemed like. We had so much fun there. But I think that she was such an example of service and of, I loved her ability with being a nurse and everything like that. And I looked up to her. And then when I think she was one of the reasons I went into nursing. And then when I graduated, every time I graduated, she came until she passed away and that. But she came to Rick's College when I graduated. And that to me. Another thing. Seriously, I didn't mean this to be a crying fest. I'm sorry. When we moved into the ward, I think the first person that this was kind of hard for Janice and I when we first moved in here. And the first person that became our friend and that I will always consider her as a great friend was Sister Heidi Bextad. And we served together in the primary. And she still, to this day, has never forgot my birthday. And whenever I see her in the hall or anything, or she waves to me, she gives me a big hug and tells me that she just asks how I'm doing or anything like that. And I think that her example, when we served together as primary teachers, and just the way she was with the young women, the young kids, and that, but she just befriended me. And I would like her to know that I consider her one of the certain women of faith. And she has some of those qualities that Sister Burton talked about, being positive, definite, and dependable. I wanted to mention a couple other women who recently bore their testimonies that I was really touched with, and that was Sister Zona Dayton and Sister Tiffany Wilcox. And both of their testimonies, I was just so touched. Sister Dayton, when she mentioned how she hadn't bore her testimony for a long time, but she humbly testified of Christ, and the Spirit was so strong. And also, it made me think of the woman at the well, where she said, "Is this not the Christ?" And also Tiffany, when she bore her testimony last week, or 2 weeks, that when she bore her testimony about her to her primary class. I was really touched with that because I thought, these are the certain women who their testimonies will touch these kids at such a young age. They're so impressionable at that age, but they're bearing their testimony to them and helping them, strengthen them. And I'd like to let her know that. I know I could just go on and on with people in the ward, and there's just too many of them, but I think that most of all, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the certain women who I have served with in the young women. They bear their testimonies, and they love those young women with all of their hearts. And they have been a true example of faithfulness to me in this ward. And I know that they have touched these young women's lives as well as they have touched mine. And I wrote down some of the qualities that she had, Sister Burton had said, such as the certain women of faith are firm, dependable, confident, and assured. And I know that each one of them have a strong testimony and that they bear them to them. And also my young women, I consider them certain women of faith. And I have to tell you, I was very touched today when I walked in and Erin was at the back door greeting. She has been, I'm not gonna point out all the young women because every one of them have different attributes. But when I walked in, the first thing I thought of, that is a certain woman. Because it makes my heart so happy when the young women are about at the back door greeting those that come in, and also just doing what the bishop had asked them to do, that he asked them to come and greet, and that she was just there doing it, and I didn't call or ask her, and she just was there. And so I want you to know, but many of these young women, just like them, up here talking today and bearing their testimonies and being certain women of faith by explaining of what they have learned with young women and also in their lives. As most of you know that Janice and I are moving to Idaho in the next couple of months, and it's been really a hard decision for us to make. I would say our faith has definitely been tested. And so I thought of the talk. I actually looked at the same talk that Sarah did of the fourth floor last door of President Uchtdorf. And I feel like I just wanted to say a couple of things on faith, and because we are talking about certain women of faith, and so I feel like our faith has been definitely tested, but it also has been strengthened because of these decisions. And once we made the decision, then a lot of these doors just opened up, and we knew it was the right thing that we were supposed to do. And President Udjor states, "Perhaps what humbles me most is to know that the same influence is reciprocated." He was talking about how all the women in his life have affected his faith. And he says, "Perhaps what humbles me most is to know that the same influence is replicated millions of times throughout the church through the abilities, talents, intelligence, and testimony of women of faith like you. Now, some of you might not feel worthy of such high praise. You might think you are too insignificant to have a meaningful influence on others. Perhaps you don't even consider yourself a woman of faith because you sometimes struggle with doubt or fear." And that's where I feel like Janice and I, that we were having a lot of doubt and fear about going, but we feel like that's when we feel that is what the Lord wants us to do. And I kept thinking of, through all of our decisions, I thought of where they say, "I never said it would be easy, I just said it would be worth it." And the purpose is faith is not to change God's will, but to empower us to act on God's will. Faith is trust. Trust that God sees what we cannot and that he knows what we do not. Sometimes trusting our own vision and judgment is not enough. And I thought of that paragraph when I thought of my young women who are going off to college and going off on their own. And I just thought of, I'm hoping that their faith is strong enough to know that they'll trust in their Heavenly Father, that he sees what they cannot, and that he know that he can, he is, will empower them, that if they will act on their faith. And faith means that we trust not only in God's wisdom, but that we trust also in his love. It means trusting that God loves us perfectly, that everything he does, every blessing he gives, and every blessing he, for a time, withholds, is our eternal happiness. Because sometimes we don't always get everything right when we want it and when we need it. But he is still, there is a purpose for that. With this kind of faith, though, we may not understand why certain things happen or why certain prayers go unanswered. And we can know that in the end, everything will make sense. All things will work together for good to them that love God. All that will be made right, all will be well. Sorry. I'd like to close with a quote from President Udjor. "God is real. He lives. He loves you. He knows you. He understands you. He knows the silent pleadings of your heart. He has not abandoned you, and he will not forsake you." If we can just remember the simple fact and testify of our Savior, that we will feel our Savior's love for us and those around us, and we will become the examples of certain women in faith to others. I would like to close with my testimony. I do know that this is the true church. I do know that God does live, and I do know that Jesus is our Savior, and that he atoned for our sins so that we can return to him someday. And I do know that the Book of Mormon is true. And I'm thankful for the value of virtue so that we can read that Book of Mormon. Sometimes we get distracted in our lives, but I do know that the reason they came up with that value is because there is so much in that book, the Book of Mormon, and I know that if we will read it, that it will answer prayers in our lives and the struggles that we do have. And I am thankful that I live in this dispensation and in this fullness of this time with when Joseph Smith restored the gospel, and I do know that the prophet, President Monson, is a prophet of God, and that he loves us, and he is looking out for us. And I am so thankful for this ward, for each and every one of you who have, I could go on, of those that have touched my life, and for good. And I give you our love, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
What a wonderful meeting. I think we were all touched by these wonderful women and their notes. What a celebration of women today. We will now close our meeting by singing hymn number 23, We Ever Pray for Thee, after which the benediction will be offered by Fabrizio Chenna.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're very thankful to be able to be here today. Heavenly Father, it would mean a lot to us to be able to remember what we experience here today throughout our week. We pray to be able to help us to have meaningful experiences, to take time to notice the things that matters most to us, and also the small little miracles around us, such as the flowers, the animals, and how blessed we are to have what we have. Heavenly Father, we pray to be able to help us to have meaningful experiences, to be able to find time and the right words to express our love for those around us. We pray to be able to be of assistance to anybody that may need our help. We pray for thy spirit to help guide us, to help us to prioritize our time and make sure that we are able to make good choices and limit the bad choices that we make. We pray, Heavenly Father, to help us repent, to bring to our understanding the things that we need to do better and the appropriate steps to be able to overcome these issues. We love thee, Father, and we say this, asking for thy blessing, direction, guidance, and spirit. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.